It's time for football. Football at 45 is brought to you by Workers' Compensation Fund. Whether it's the Utes, Cougars, Aggies, Wildcats, College, or the NFL, at 45 after the hour, it's Gridiron Talk. And it's only on Bill and OC, ESPN 700.
Bill and OC Show, ESPN 700, is Utah's number one sports talk. Time to talk a little football. Who's going to make a roster? These Utah draft picks and some of the free agent signings. Who does Sigmund Bloom think is going to land? And, of course, because it's the biggest story in football, we'll probably have to talk about Deflategate.
I'll leave that to you.
You don't want to talk anymore about Deflategate?
I'm deflated on Deflategate. I'm so deflated on Deflategate right
now. Well, I'm going to ask you something in our 5 o'clock hour that's not about Deflategate, but it's inspired by Deflategate. So hopefully you'll put a little air back in the sails for that.
I'm going to get the pump out.
That sounds weird. Sigmund Bloom joins us. Sigmund Bloom of footballguys.com. How are you, sir?
Doing great. And, you know, it's amazing that the NFL staying power during the NHL playoffs, NBA playoffs, baseball in full swing. And we're talking about air pressure.
We are talking about PSI and Tom Brady, the golden boy, the untouchable one, the hair, the Victoria's Secret model wife, the Super Bowl championships, and now a 4-game suspension for Tom Brady. I mean, ultimately, is this the appropriate punishment? What was your initial reaction?
Well, my initial reaction is this. Most, if not all, the 31 owners do not like Robert Kraft, do not like the Patriots, and want them to see what they believe is coming to them. And this seems reminiscent of when Dan Snyder and Jerry Jones got the smackdown for violating what really on the surface looks like collusion during an uncapped year when they had a gentleman's agreement to not push and restructure contracts to take advantage of that. So I think that this is also, you have this, you know, I'm a parent of a 5-year-old child. It's like, it's not what you did, it's that you lied about what you did. You know, so the NFL seems to have a different set of standards. We had millions of dollars investigation, 243 pages for this. For other teams, you know, the Patriots, the Panthers and the Chargers, I believe, were warming footballs on the sidelines. They got a $25,000 fine. So, you know, I think this is a long time coming, and it's in context with the Patriots' history more than this one offense.
Why is it, Sigmund, that owners around the league don't like Kraft? Is it because of his success? I mean, we're talking about, you know, in basketball and baseball, it's understandable ownership, not like in other owners that will outspend them and things like that, but in a hard cap league, what is it that rubs the other 31 or maybe 28 of the 31 right. other owners the wrong way about a guy like Kraft?
But it seems like there's a perception that he and Roger Goodell are tight in a way that might be inappropriate. I almost think that, again, this result might be to dispel that. Of course, there's the history and things like Spygate. Some of the old Spygate rumors, and I want to stress rumors, were dredged up, you know, that Bill Belichick had a dossier on what other teams had been doing, and he was going to go public if the league came down too hard on them. So I think there's maybe a perception both in the outside of the league that the Patriots are more ruthless, maybe more willing to go to ends that other teams aren't willing to go to. But for the NFL, it's good for business. Every great story needs a villain, and we have our villain.
Couple of villains. You got, I mean, this is Tom Brady Darth Vader to Bill Belichick's Emperor Palpatine? Is that what we're looking at here?
You know, that certainly seems like it. Although, you know, it's interesting because there was a piece on Brady in the New York Times around the same time all this was going on, a personal piece that, you know, he actually sometimes gets under Belichick's skin because he does things his own way, and Belichick obviously is the type that he has his program and he doesn't want players straying from that, and Brady may even have some other players on the team under his influence. So, you know, maybe they are not as symbiotic as is portrayed. Obviously, they've created results that are going to be talked about for decades, But again, you know, it's always extremely compelling. This is another chapter. That being said, I think that if people feel like this is going to change how we look at Brady, Belichick, they probably already saw them as tarnished or had the asterisk beside them. And people who are willing to sweep it aside are willing to still say, I still admire them and respect them for what they've done.
Sigmund Bloom's our guest. Footballguys.com is where you'll catch his stuff, talking lots of NFL stuff. We're only a couple of weeks removed from the draft. Four local guys, University of Utah guys, all drafted. Kyle Whittingham's got a pretty good track record in recent years of putting guys in the league. Rowe goes to the Eagles. Chip Kelly loves him some Pac-12. Nate Orchard to the Browns. Jeremiah Patassi to the Titans. Kalen Clay to Tampa Bay. Any one of those four guys, you like their situation more than somebody else's?
Sure. I think that Orchard is going to have a chance right away to be an impact pass rusher. And while he isn't a gaudy athlete, his combativeness, his strength, his power in his game, his ability to change up his pass rush strategies and really keep his opponent off balance impressed me. He's an extremely productive player. And with the front line that the Browns have, the defense, of course, under Mike Pettine, really came alive last year. Remember, they gave Andrew Luck about as hard a time as anybody. Orchard's going to fit right in there. And Eric Rowe, I believe the Eagles had another first-round pick. The Eagles look at this as they got two first-round picks. This is a big, long corner, someone who might project at safety. And wherever he ends up playing and doing the best, they need help. He's going to get on the field right away and get tested right away and learn on the job.
Patassi was the guy who went earlier than a lot of folks projected him. Is he going to have a shot to get playing time as a rookie offensive lineman?
Sure. This is an interesting one because, you know, Tennessee has poured a lot of money and draft picks into this offensive line, you know, $40 million for Andy Levitre, a number 10 overall pick for Chance Warmack, you know, Taylor Luan, the number 12 overall pick last year. But, you know, he could probably play guard, even with that position stocked up right now, or potentially fit in at right tackle, where Michael Orr was a big bust, which if there's any Carolina Panthers fans out there, you won't like to hear that, because I believe he's their left tackle this year.
Sigmund, why in the world would Jameis Winston countersue his accuser and draw more attention to himself in a case that, in essence, has kind of been put on the back burner?
Well, perhaps getting drafted number one, perhaps the stamp of approval by the Buccaneers emboldened him. We see the league basically, or at least the Bucs, saying, we've looked into this. They're putting the most valuable asset this franchise has had in a long time in Winston. So I think that Winston is that type of player that is a leader to his teammates and is an emboldening force for his teammates. But again, you know, we've seen him make similar types of decisions on the field where you're watching him last year in the first quarter of games and thinking, what is he doing? By the fourth quarter, he would usually put the fire out and win. So, you know, this is a guy who makes his own messes and cleans them up, and maybe he has one more go-around, or it's just getting some advice that maybe is not that sound.
Bad luck for the Jacksonville Jaguars is apparently not even a full hour into his first workout for the team. Their first overall draft pick in this year's draft tears his ACL, and he's going to be out for the year. And you know, they signed him today to a fully guaranteed contract. Is that something that the Jaguars are truly comfortable with, or does that good faith agreement, do they have to guarantee him that much money?
Yeah, it was interesting when it went down. The first thought was, oh, he was participating without having signed a contract. But I think that this is a good faith effort, not just on behalf of the Jags, but we know the CBA, the new CBA, greatly cut down these rookie contracts for the top five, top ten picks. And you might have had, and one of the things that we say now, it used to be, you would count down these holdouts well into training camp sometimes as they were haggling over terms of a contract. Now that doesn't happen anymore. The terms are basically set. For these top picks, all the money is guaranteed. And if the Jags would have put that in danger by saying, now that you've torn your ACL, we're not going to honor the way these contracts are slotted from the beginning, then that could disturb the peace that we've seen between high draft picks and teams and getting their careers underway right away.
I didn't want to ask a Deflategate question, but I'm going to bring it all the way around to next year. Let's assume that the Brady suspension holds at 4 games. It doesn't get reduced at all, none of that stuff.
Sure.
Is Jimmy Garoppolo, will he be ready by September? Is he a guy that's got a skill set without any experience yet in NFL games that he can keep the Patriots afloat, or is this going to be a huge blow to the Patriots?
I think he can keep them afloat. And we can go back to, you said, doesn't have any experience. We have to remember when Matt Cassel took over for Tom Brady, he didn't really even have college experience. He was at USC backing up Carson Palmer and Matt Leinart, and the Patriots took him as a late pick because they saw something moldable there. And Garoppolo, obviously, this is the highest drafted quarterback in the Bill Belichick era in New England. So I have to think they've seen some things. Garoppolo impressed me in the preseason last year, and I think now with this having now 4 months out to prepare, they've been able to get the most out of quarterbacks. Remember, Brian Hoyer was an undrafted free agent that they made a backup right away and had him in that position if necessary. So I trust their judgment. And the fortunate thing for the Patriots is only one of those first 4 games is a division game, so they'll still control their own destiny even if they come out of those first 4-1-3.
Last thing for me before I let you go.
Yeah.
Drez Anderson was a guy who got hurt for the University of Utah. He's got an NFL pedigree. He's got NFL speed. He had a good workout when he was able to finally work out. The 49ers signed him to a free agent draft contract, or a free agent, undrafted free agent contract. There it is. I feel like he's got a chance to make the team. Do you think that he's a fit for the 49ers?
Well, sure, because of the depth chart. And, you know, they spent a pick on a wide receiver, DeAndre Smelter from Georgia Tech, who's all coming off of an ACL tear. And you know, that's going to mean more reps. He's not going to be necessarily ready in these rookie mini camps and early OTAs. So that's reps for Anderson or someone like, I would bring up another guy, Darius Davis from Henderson State. They have some really interesting undrafted free agent wide receivers that they brought in. And you look at their depth chart, one of their top wide receivers, Anquan Boldin, you know, he's had a tremendous career, but this could be his last year. Bruce Ellington is more of a gadget player. Quentin Patton has been more of a bust. And then after that, it's wide open. So you're looking at one, maybe two roster spots for wide receivers. So Anderson did a really good job picking a team that he has a real chance to make as an undrafted free agent.
That, my friends, is Sigmund Bloom. He's with thefootballguys.com, and he writes about all things National Football League. Hey, good catching up with you, man. We'll give you a little time, and we'll talk this summer as we get ready for camp.
Anytime. I always look forward to it.